This is Mark Strassman, reporter with Ethiopia Media Medical News Network. We're about to speak to Dr. Eliseo Guaylar, who is associated with the Johns Hopkins University Medical School and is one of the authors of a new study called Meta-Analysis, High Dosage Vitamin E Supplementation May Increase All-Cause Mortality. Welcome to Ethiopia Media Medical News Network.
Thank you, Mark.
Why don't we start by just you giving a little bit of your background in cardiology and what areas of research you mainly focus on?
Well, I'm an epidemiologist, and I work here at Johns Hopkins and the Medical School and the School of Public Health, and my main interest is to try to find what are the causes of cardiovascular diseases.
Right.
And mainly I like to focus on micronutrients, antioxidants, and heavy metals.
Okay. And what has been the existing alternative medical or basic medical theory underlying a belief that vitamin E was good for cardiovascular health?
Vitamin E is a compound that is antioxidant.
Okay. Tell people what an antioxidant is.
These are compounds that protect our body from the stress and the chemical reactions induced by oxidant compounds, which are, you know, it's all kind of compounds, things such as smoking and even heavy metals that basically damage our lipids, proteins, and even DNA. So for a long time, we have developed these theories that oxidation is one of the key steps in producing cardiovascular disease, cancer, and other chronic diseases.
So, in fact, it's a kind of rust, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's kind of like putting vitamin E is considered a way of slowing down or stopping the rusting process.
Exactly, and the body through evolution, we have developed whole system of different antioxidant compounds to prevent that rust. And vitamin E is like the key antioxidant for preventing the oxidation of lipids.
Okay, and it's the oxidation of lipids that causes a lot of these problems.
And the oxidation of lipids is supposed to initiate atherosclerosis and the process that leads to myocardial infarction.
Okay, so had there been previous studies of this magnitude to examine the relationship between vitamin E and cardiovascular health?
There have been. We included in our study 19 separate studies.
Right.
What we did is we pulled them together. And
so you didn't do any original research. You essentially you cataloged all the previous research
exactly,
and to find out what happened. Okay.
This was a meta-analysis, and actually this was a way of summarizing the evidence in what we think is a very systematic way and
okay.
putting everything together.
Okay. How far back did you collect data from?
So these studies they go back. They're from the late 80s and 90s.
Okay. Actually, it says on one of the publications here you looked back all the way to 1966.
Well, that's when we started trying to find the studies.
And so when did the first studies appear, actually?
To be precise, can I check
sure.
a second?
Sure.
Let me.
Because obviously this is kind of something of the sociology of medicine
yeah.
to see when people were actually yeah. looking into this.
Yeah. The issue here is that the types of studies that we're looking into, which are randomized control trials,
right.
they're relatively recent within the history of medicine.
Right.
So the earliest studies were published in the early 90s, like 93, which means that and they were reporting already several years of follow-up. So these studies were started in the mid 80s.
Right.
They were concluded somewhere around the earlier ones, somewhere around the late 80s, early 90s, and published between 93 and this very year, 2004.
Okay, so it includes the most up-to-date data that's available.
Approximately
how many participants were included in your study then?
About 130,000.
Okay, 130,000. All right, why don't we start at the top? What was the major finding of your analysis?
Well, the main finding was that in studies where people were taking high-dose vitamin E, and we categorized high dose as 400 international units per day or higher.
Right, over how long a period?
The studies were at least 1 year long and up to 8 years.
Okay.
And in those studies, participants taking vitamin E had a 4 to 6% increase in total mortality.
4 to 6% increase.
Yeah.
And why did you choose total mortality as the endpoint to study here?
Because these studies, they have been published by different groups in different countries with different methodologies.
Right.
And total mortality is something that is easy to check if a participant is dead or alive.
Right.
And everybody reports it consistently. If you're going into the question of what are these people dying of, then studies are very inconsistent. They don't use the same categories for evaluating deaths, and that information is very often not reported. So we wanted to make sure that we have a very an endpoint that we were sure that it was measured correctly. Now, the disadvantage that we have, and that should be future research, is that we don't know exactly why people are dying in excess with vitamin E.
Right, and presumably you're going to either go back over the data or
exactly.
Design some new studies.
I think the next step should be, so what we have done is we've worked on the publications and contacting the authors of some of these studies just to make sure that all the data are okay. The next logical step would be to go back to those original studies, get the original data, and make the effort of getting the information on mortality and coding it all in a consistent way and reanalyzing the data.
So you'd have to code to see whether, now as it now exists, that the mortality statistic says if a person falls in the category of taking more than 400 international units and they've taken it for a year, is what you're measuring is whether they're alive at the end of the year?
Exactly. Alive at the end of the study.
Alive at the end of the study.
Yeah.
And but you don't know what the cause of death was, only that they were dead.
Yeah.
And if you go back and get that data and code it, then you'll be able to see whether it was increased risk of it was cardiovascular disease or something
exactly.
else.
But with the information that there's an excess death, that's enough information to know that we should not be taking this.
Right. Okay. Let's examine that, though, in a little more depth.
Sure.
How are you able to say with confidence that the excess mortality rate wasn't due to the fact that people taking these different dosages had different lifestyles or were otherwise positioned differently?
Yeah, that's a very important question, and we're quite confident because all the studies, the 19 studies that we include in our meta-analysis in this study, they were randomized controlled trials.
To explain what that means?
Meaning that for each individual study, the doctors decided by using like a coin whether
right.
the patient would be taking vitamin E or a pill. So imagine we had
a placebo pill.
Like a dummy pill.
Right.
So that for any particular study, people taking vitamin E and people not taking vitamin E were comparable.
Right.
And in all characteristics except for the fact that one group was taking the vitamin, the other one was taking the placebo, and they were taking that in most studies in a double-blind fashion, meaning that the participant didn't know if the capsule that he or she were taking had active vitamin E or it was just some inactive compound.
And as a double-blind, the physicians or the other people running the studies didn't know either.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. So in that sense, we're quite confident. And, you know, this is why these studies are very hard to do, and this is the kind of protection against bias. That
right. In fact, so then if you lined up or put in a room the people who were taking the placebo and the people who were taking the vitamin E, they'd essentially be comparable in terms of height, weight, age, lifestyle, and so on.
And they don't know who is taking what.
Right.
And you wouldn't be able to tell.
Right. So the only difference, the only statistically or medically significant difference was one group was taking vitamin E and the other group wasn't.
Exactly.
And you found the excess mortality in the group that was taking
vitamin E. Exactly.
And again, what was that rate of excess mortality?
4 to 6%.
Okay. Now, that's the history and the study and the and a little bit about how it works. What does this mean for public health policy, and what are you recommending on the basis of this study be people's attitude towards taking behavior in terms of taking vitamin E supplements?
Yeah, we think it's not a good idea, and we think that people shouldn't be taking high-dose vitamin E supplements.
Now, what about low dose? Does this or other studies show that lower doses can be beneficial or not?
No. There are no studies showing that they can be beneficial in Western populations, like in the U.S., where people have people can get adequate levels of vitamin E through the food supplies. Our study doesn't show that they are harmful, though.
Okay, it's just that they're not helpful.
Yeah, exactly.
But at higher, so can people get? Is there a minimum requirement that people ought to be getting a vitamin E, and if so, how should they be getting it? Or is there no such thing?
Well, there is, and the recommendations are through what you should be getting through a healthy diet. It's about 15 units, and people could get that through diet. Remember that through diet we're talking about 10, 15 international units. When we take specific supplements or vitamin E, then the supplements that you can buy in the supermarket have 200, 400 units or 1,000 units. So here we're talking huge doses compared with what we eat in the food, and that's what worries us.
Are some foods particularly good sources of vitamin E?
Yeah. I mean, fruits and vegetables, they are quite good sources.
So people drinking a quart of orange juice a day are pretty well covered here, are they?
Well, orange juice is not the best.
Orange juice. What's the best way to get vitamin E, would you say?
Well, I think with having a variety of mainly. Let me. What is the best?
All right. Let me
check that.
Okay. Check that.
Okay. Can you hold on a second?
Sure.
Okay. Main dietary sources of vitamin E are vegetable oils.
Vegetable oils, like canola oil, olive oil?
Sunflower, cottonseed, safflower, canola, and olive oil.
So people who have that as a normal part of their diet are pretty well covered.
Yeah.
So summarizing or repeating a little bit about what people don't need to do.
Yes.
Essentially, if people are eating a healthy, well-balanced diet with some of these vegetable oils in it, there is no need for them to take any vitamin E supplements. Is that right?
Exactly. And what people might be taking, and we don't know if that's good or not, is vitamin E in multivitamins.
Right.
Now, multivitamins don't have as much vitamin E as the specific supplements. Multivitamins have like between 30 and 60 units, and we don't know if that's good or bad.
You're not saying that it's possible that people who take multivitamins are going to have excess mortality over people who don't?
Our study shows that it's unlikely that they have excess mortality, but it might be also unlikely that they are getting any benefit.
Okay, so essentially people get enough in their if they're eating a well-balanced diet.
Exactly.
If they take it up to, say, 400 milligrams, it's not going to harm them too much, but it's not going to do them any good either.
Okay.
And if they take above 400 international units, they're going to start hurting themselves.
Exactly. The only caveat that I would say there is that we know that above 400 there is harm. We don't know exactly what's the point where things start to change, and that's very difficult to estimate.
Are you going to try to study that to essentially have a dose-dependent effect?
That's almost impossible. Because there are maybe I shouldn't say that, but there's a lot of uncertainty in trying to establish that point. So what I would say is avoid 400 or more, and I'm not sure that there is any reason to take any supplement at all.
Okay. Are you expecting any kind of backlash from the vitamin E selling community about this?
Well, they've already started.
what are they saying?
So they say several things. One of the things they say is that many of these studies, they were done in sick people, and they cannot be generalizable to the general population.
And what do you say about that?
Well, it's true of some studies, but not all.
Right.
And our studies didn't depend. We did what we call sensitivity analysis. That is, we repeat the analysis, taking out some studies. And it was not a single study that was pulling the the results. As far as we can tell, our best estimate of the effect of high-dose vitamin E is that it increases mortality.
Okay.
Maybe if you're healthy and you don't have any chronic diseases, maybe there's a lower increase in mortality or no increase. But again, why should you be taking it? We are quite sure that they don't protect.
Okay, now I think I saw in the Associated Press article a reference to statins. A lot of people with cardiovascular disease are taking statin drugs to lower
yeah.
their cholesterol.
Yeah.
What did you find was the interaction either at the molecular level between vitamin E and these statins or epidemiologically between the use of the two chemicals at the same time?
Yeah, of the 19 studies that we studied, only one used also statins, and there was no interaction. So the effect of the statins, which is a clear protective effect, was independent of the effect of vitamin E.
So essentially people taking statins should keep taking them there is no synergistic positive benefit, nor is there any decrement.
We don't have a lot of data on that, but as far as we can tell, they're independent effects.
Okay. As long as you're here, why don't you remind people about what they should do to keep their hearts and cardiovascular systems healthy, and then we'll sign off.
Okay. So don't smoke.
Right.
Check your cholesterol levels and your blood pressure. Make sure that they are under control.
Right.
With the doctor. Don't get overweight.
Okay.
And one of the consequences of overweight is diabetes. So if you have diabetes, check the doctor. And if you have diabetes, make sure that that you really don't smoke and have cholesterol and blood pressure under control.
Right.
Then do regular physical activity. Current recommendations is at least half an hour every day. That might be too much for many people, but it's important to get moving.
And now that can range from just plain walking to brisk walking.
I mean, the
brisk walking, right?
Walking is better than nothing.
Right.
But, you know, the typical recommendation is brisk walking for at least half an hour.
At least half an hour every day.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And then have a healthy diet with probably the key thing is do not eat too many saturated fatty acids.
What kind of things have saturated fatty acids in them?
Animal fat.
Animal fat. Yes. Hamburgers.
Hamburgers. Particularly fatty. I mean, if they're very lean, that's okay. But, yeah, hamburgers.
Okay. All right. Well, I want to thank you very much for talking to us. And
sure.
as new issues come up here in this field, maybe we can talk again some more and let people know what they ought to be doing to keep themselves healthy.
Sure. Great talking to you.
Great talking to you. Thanks
Thank you very much.
Bye.